What is up, internet? Welcome to another episode of the No Excuses Podcast. Chad and Andy sitting around tonight, and we are Steve free.
Steveless?
We are Steveless, which sounds like sleeveless, but we are Steveless because, we asked him to stay home because he offended us last week when he called us wheelchair people. No, that's not true. We didn't ask him to stay home, but it is only the wheelchair people here tonight. So anyways, we don't have Steve with us tonight, but we didn't want that to stop us from getting together. To try to record some more of our thoughts about life. We're just going to chat with you tonight about where we're at this very moment. In mid-December, getting ready for Christmas. And hope you guys are all doing well, braving the chaos that is Christmas. Man, Christmas has become commercialized and crappy. I don't know.
Commercialized.
Yeah, it's like a commercial.
Yeah, but you said commercial, no lies.
Did I? We'll have to go back and check it out. I'm really trying to enunciate.
Commercialized.
Yes. Commercialized.
Commercialized is correct.
Yeah, that's what I said. Everything is about, like, the crap of Christmas now anymore. It's not even about... It's just about, like, you know, getting to the mall before everybody else. It sucks.
I don't do that.
You know, at least we have sweet parking spots. There's that. Okay, so let's be straight, because you are a 37-year-old. 37? 37.
I'll be 38
in May. Yeah, you're a 37-year-old man. You're a good-looking young man. When you pull up into a parking spot, right? Now, do you keep your handicap parking permit on your dash, or is it on your visor? Flip it down. Boom.
No, it's on my visor so I don't lose it.
Right.
No.
Okay, so you pull into a parking spot at a crowded mall at Christmas time, and there's a grandma or grandpa, or, you know, we'll call her Ethel. Ethel's right across from you. And I mean, you know, do you get the dirty looks? Do you get the death stares from Ethel as you pull into the differently abled parking spot?
Yeah, I do. And to be honest, I try not to use those spots, especially during busy times, but
for real?
For real.
Man, I've seen you walk. You're as likely to fall down as anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And you just will intentionally just not park in a handicapped space.
Well, for me, it is... If you weigh it out, if it's busy, there's probably going to be somebody that either A, looks at you, gives you the stare down, or B, says something, or C, both. And in my 37-plus years on Earth... I've mellowed out a little bit in the last little while, and I just don't have the time or the energy to educate people, let's say.
So rather than face, I was going to say the ridicule, but it's not even about that. So just to save yourself the headache, you will intentionally find an open spot that is not a handicapped space and park there instead. It's not worth the headache.
100%.
Wow, cool. I'm a non-driver right now, but in my van with my wife driving, we will circle around and look for those spots, man. And my wife being the non-driver, she is the driver but the non-wheelchair user, so she'll get out and walk around to the side of the vehicle to get my chair out, and the amount of dirty looks that she gets, man, is hilarious. So maybe you got a point there. Maybe it's just not worth the headache.
Well, I feel like it's cliche though, but is the wheelchair... Does the parking pass even do anything? Like, if somebody wants to park...
Get you closer to the door.
Yeah, but if somebody wants to park there, they're going to park there, right?
Yeah.
And so, I don't know. Unless there's bylaw officers patrolling the malls, then it really doesn't... it's not worth it to me. You know, Shoppers Drug Mart has those big bay windows that you
yep.
see through the whole store. So I pulled into Shoppers one time, used the accessible spot... And this old man, he was already out of the store, and he watched me walk around the store till I checked out, came back out the store, and he's like, I guess you're legit.
He said that?
He didn't say legit.
He goes, well, your story checks out, young man.
And I said, I guess you have way too much time on your hands. Like, but I tend to stay away from the malls during this time of year, because as we've discussed previously, my balance is not the greatest, so
I don't do good
in crowded areas.
Yeah.
And So, anyways.
So your Christmas shopping is done then, in the middle of December. You're finished.
I didn't say that. And also, my wife listens to podcasts, so we're just gonna move on.
Okay, fair enough. Question. Fair enough.
What about you?
I will try and avoid the mall at all costs. Notoriously, I will still end up, the last couple of years, I have ended up in the mall on Christmas Eve like a total idiot, mostly getting stocking stuffers and stuff. Friends like to be, this is an aside, but friends like to be with me in the mall because they just use me as a battering ram with my wheelchair. They just think that that's like cool.
Push you.
Yeah, they could stand behind me and just get through the crowds faster. I don't necessarily like that. I don't like to be the one being used as the battering ram because then people turn around and look at me and have to say, like, it's my friend's fault because they tried to run you over.
But you don't drive, though, right?
Yeah.
So, are your friends driving you, or are you taking the bus up?
More often than not, I'll take the bus.
So it's like door-to-door service for you, then.
Yes, yeah, it kind of has to be. Winter is always complicated. We're blessed enough right now, and I say that with all due apologies to those that actually like the snow. We're blessed right now to not have a whole bunch of snow in Hamilton, Ontario, where we're both from. But typically, the snow is not my friend as a wheelchair user who doesn't drive. It's not as easy at all to get around in the snow. And if you have, you're obviously a non-wheelchair user who's listening, if you think about it even as for strollers, for young mothers that are trying to push through anything through the snow, if people don't clear their sidewalks, it can be a heck of a go. I've got lucky enough to get a bus. I've got a bus stop at the top of my street. I don't have far to go, but yeah, just any time people aren't clearing their snow, it always makes things really problematic. I'm lucky enough to have lived in the same house for about 30 years, and so I've had the same neighbors for quite a while. My neighbors are really good with clearing their snow quickly, and there's a couple that have snow blowers, and they get out there and get the sidewalks done for me so that I can get around. So, but generally, winter is very problematic.
I heard a story, and it was from your dad. So there's you always have.
So it was an awesome story.
Vic can tell a story. So Vic tells a story of one morning after a heavy snowfall. He cleared off your ramp.
Yep.
He cleared off your sidewalk in front of your house.
Yes.
He did a couple houses, and then he got sick of it, so he just put a he put the shovel over his shoulder, and walked up the sidewalk until up and down the sidewalk until your neighbors got the message.
Yep, 100%. That is my father. He's a champion, and that's absolutely what he did. So my dad built the ramp up the side of our house, and I live in the house that I grew up in with my mom and dad. So at the time, obviously, when I was living there with him, he had built the ramp that goes up the side of our house and into the back door. So I don't use the front door of my house. So on that particular instance, yeah, my dad had come and cleared out the entire ramp for me to get down. And then this is when I was he was living next door, where they currently live, so I live next door to my parents. He had cleared out my house, his house, and a few more, and exactly as you said, he was tired, and he just was working up a sweat, and he was done. So, you know, and then he just, exactly like you said, he just said, forget it, and just took the shovel. I went and put his snowblower away, grabbed a shovel, threw it over his shoulder, and literally just walked in front of people's houses until they got the point, right? And it was to be fair to my dad, obviously trying to prove a point, and to my neighbors, there had been at least 24 hours since the snowfall too. So so it wasn't fresh snow. It was just, you know, basically my dad saying, okay, like, it's time, you gotta clear your snow so that my kid can get to work, right, or get around. So, I mean, winter's always, I guess, a little bit extra difficult. What about you are not exactly the most sure-footed human I have ever met.
In all honesty, it's not that different from when there's no snow on the ground, because I'm not the most sure-footed individual anyway, so is it a little more treacherous? Maybe a little bit, but I don't use a chair, so I just...
Does it take you longer to clear your snow off your car than someone who walks around just fine?
Maybe a little bit longer, but we have amazing neighbors that they'll just do our sidewalk and our driveway for us.
Yeah, that's so awesome.
Clearing off the car, it doesn't take me too long. And I always start the car first, so it's easier to clean off once the car's heated, right? So,
okay. Everything's warm, melts faster.
I will say one time I was going to a video shoot, and it might have been around this time of year, maybe a little earlier, but it was like, it was raining, but it was cold enough that the rain was turning to ice. So when that happens, as opposed to snow, I have a really difficult time.
Mm-hmm.
And this particular shoot, I was like, oh, we gotta get there early. I gotta give myself a lot of extra time. And got there, everything went well. But in the, two, 4 hours while we were on the shoot, whatever it was, the rain had frozen over.
Mm.
And then when I was trying to get back in my car, I couldn't, I couldn't plant my foot on the ground to get in the car. So if you visualize getting in the car, you put one foot
mm-hmm.
inside the car and your other foot is your plant foot. Mm-hmm.
Your slipping foot in this case.
Yeah, every time I tried to get in the car, I slipped. So my videographer at the time, a good friend of mine, and he was going between laughing at me trying to get in the car and being like, should I help?
I should help him, but my gosh, this is funny. I must keep watching to see what happens next.
It was one of those things where how many times are you going to try to do this before he figures out that there might be a better solution?
That's awesome.
That was pretty funny.
That's awesome. I want to give a shout out to our custodians at work because we had a little bit of snow happen this week in Hamilton, and these guys are awesome. So in the time, I don't have much of a wheel into school after I got off my bus, but in the time that I had gotten off the bus at work and then gotten into the building, there was quite a bit of snow that had built up inside the front wheel axles of my front tires, just enough on the ground just to sort of build up. And by the time I had reached my classroom, my front tires had completely seized. I couldn't move. So it was a little embarrassing as I get to the classroom and students are watching. Students are there. There's a few of the students that were there at this time, and they were sort of watching me try and navigate. And of course, I'm too stubborn to do anything about it other than just to try to push myself in. So I made it as far as our custodial area, which is right before our classroom area. And I got to the boys custodians and I said, you guys got WD-40, and hooked me up with some stuff. And our custodians at work ended up helping me take my front tires right off the axles and clean them all out and dry them all off and everything. Because the snow had completely stopped me from moving. So shout out to those guys. You're probably there. I don't know if you're listeners or not, but that's really awesome for helping me out. It's probably not something you see every day when somebody drives their vehicle into your custodial area and says, hey, I need a little help because I can't get in and around my classroom. Yeah, everything had just dropped. Once the snow had all sort of gotten in there, it just made things really difficult for me. So those guys were pretty awesome and helped me take the tires right off and clean them all up, dry them all up, and get ready to rock. So that was pretty cool.
It's you kind of beat me to the punch, and it's funny because we'll shoot emails back and forth about what do we want to talk about.
Yeah.
But we don't necessarily script. Not necessarily. We don't script anything.
No, not at all.
So it's funny you mentioned your tire season up or your wheelchair season
yep.
up. That was going to be my next question to you anyways.
Yeah.
So you're in your chair.
Yeah.
You're in your chair basically 24/7, right? Like when you're at home, you're relaxing.
Yes.
But
I don't sleep in it. When I was teaching elementary, I think some grade ones and twos, like kindergarten kids, they'd be shocked to find out that I could actually get out of the chair. I think they thought I had a button I could press to like go to sleep.
Okay, so 24 hours is
it's a bit of a stretch.
So
it's probably very safe to say 15, 16.
Okay.
Yeah.
But my point is, when the bad weather comes, I just put my wheelchair away, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I just don't wheel around.
Yeah.
But for you, the snow is one thing, but you also got to deal with the salt too, and that probably wreaks havoc on the chair as well, right?
100%. The guys that do the work on my chair, when they come to look at it, they're always like, what do you do to, you know, because I think on paper you're guaranteed 5 years before they will replace a wheelchair. You're supposed to get 5 years out of a chair. I have never gotten even close to the five-year mark. I might have gotten to three at best before I'm getting a new chair. And the guys that always do all the work on my chair are kind of, they're laughing as they look at it. They said, you know, kind of like, what are you doing to this thing? But, I mean, you said it. As a non-driver, I go everywhere. And I don't let anything get in my way. I never have. And I'm not about to start. So, yeah, winter's brutal. The snow is one thing, and then exactly as you said, the salt is another. There's tons of salt down on the sidewalks, obviously, for people that have cleared out their snow and are salting their sidewalks. And you can't imagine that that's a good thing for the inner workings and inner parts of a wheelchair to have that happening.
I'm lucky enough that I can work. I can try to maintain the chair a little bit. Like, I get it serviced every. Mm-hmm. six months, mm-hmm. whatever. But I mean, that's got to be tough for you to do, because you'd have to be without your chair, which you can't do, right?
Yeah, you said it, man. I will only call for my chair when something is bad enough that it's unusable anymore. And you said it, I don't have like a backup chair or a second chair. So, I mean, for them to come and do work, especially with me working in the school system, most of the places don't work weekends. And so they're Monday to Friday, 9 to 5 largely. So that means I'm literally taking a day off work to get work done on my chair. Right. And that's a little bit problematic. You can't mess around with that kind of stuff. I've had a couple of appointments where they'll come in and try and meet me after work. But again, depending on the severity of the work that needs to be done, it's sometimes hours. Right. So it's exactly like you said as well. They'll come and then I have to get out of my chair, which means I'm now on my couch. For an extended period of time is how long as it takes them to do the work. I literally remember one of the last times they did some work, it was 2 to 3 hours that they had my chair in their truck. And they're good enough that they bring the truck, they do the work right outside your house. And then bring it back. But yeah, it's a couple hours where I'm sort of stuck on the couch, right? And so it's like put a Harry Potter movie on or something. That's a couple hours and hope that nothing goes wrong in that time. Otherwise, I'm crawling around my house.
It's not like a car where you take your car to the mechanics and they give you a loaner car. Right, like you just got to wait it out.
Yeah, and then, you know, and oh man, you're on fire today with you're just understanding it, you're getting it. The frustration that comes from that is next level, because exactly that, they can't give me just here's a loaner car, go to work. For me, if they're gonna give me a chair, it is literally going to be like a hospital wheelchair and I can't go to work in that.
Right,
and, so
the difference between that is. Like a hospital chair is the fold up kind. Mm-hmm. I don't know, 30 to 40 pounds. You can't maneuver. Well, you can maneuver them yourself, but it's very difficult.
Oh, extremely.
As opposed to our chairs, our sport chairs, 20 to 25 pounds.
Yep.
Very agile. And
yeah.
They're built for. Day-to-day life.
Yeah, and to further that point, they're measured for us, right? They're custom built for us. The fitting that goes into building a chair and ordering a chair and all of that stuff, it literally takes a huge amount of time, because they custom measure you for everything in the chair, from the width to the height to the floor and everything else about it. So when you are forced to use another wheelchair, especially a hospital chair that's kind of this one-size-fits-all approach, it's hugely problematic and would put a wrench in anybody's plan. So it's funny. I mean, it's not like they have these sort of backup chairs floating around that you can just jump into, right? So Andy said it earlier as we started telling our stories. We never really sit down and script out what we're going to talk about. It's very casual, conversational. It's part of the approach that we wanted to have. But I wanted to jump back to something that we mentioned a couple weeks ago. And if you've been listening to us from the start, just want to say thank you. Again, all these episodes are available on all streaming services. You can go back and listen to old ones that you might have missed on iTunes and Spotify and every other outlet that there is. So be sure to check those out. But on a previous episode, we were chatting about hockey and sledge hockey and how long we were teammates and often how our dynamic as friends would influence things on the ice. And so I want to go back and kind of visit our life as hockey teammates, trying to sort of balance being, I mean, pretty close to best friends. If you could, I don't know how you quantify levels of friendship, but you were as close to me as a brother. And then that dynamic of being hockey teammates. So we're gonna go back and sort of revisit that.
Sure.
Cool. All right. So you were, you are the same on the ice as you are as a person. And so for better or worse. And man, the amount of struggles that I had, and I think I might have mentioned this on a previous episode, but I don't know if I expected special treatment because we were so close as friends or what, but man, I did not get special treatment, and I totally get it now, and it's hilarious thinking back. I mean, I'm 8 years out of play. I haven't played hockey in 8 years. I stopped when my daughter was born, and so we're quite a ways out of our time on the ice. But as I look back and reflect at that dynamic, it was an interesting one.
Man, if anything, I would say you probably got it worse than anybody else, just because we were close.
Yeah,
and I by no means am I saying I was the best player on the ice. I would argue that was rarely the case, but I will say there was probably nobody on the ice that would work harder than I did.
Oh, hands down.
So
we spent quite a bit of time as obviously years and years together as teammates, probably close to 20 if my math is correct, but also we spent quite a bit of time as line mates as well. And I think that was probably a conscious decision from our coaches, maybe put the friends together because they get along really well off the ice. But I don't know if that was intentional on their part.
Well, I mean, it's funny, like you always talk about chemistry in sports, and sometimes I think that's overrated, because at the end of the day, doesn't matter what sport it is, but if you have more points than the other team, you win, right? So,
yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, there's no doubt I knew where you were going to be, and you knew where I was going to be, and all that kind of stuff. So.
I just hoped that you wouldn't end up being in the penalty box. But then
that rarely happened.
Yeah, true enough.
And to clarify, it rarely happened that I didn't end up in the penalty box.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Exactly. Andy was... he was intense. He still is intense. I love him.
I think we're going to get Brett back on here to talk about being an opponent. Just
100%. Yeah. If you're checking out previous episodes, you go back and check out our episode with our buddy Brettsky Wills. Brett Wills is an awesome dude in Mississauga. He's got his own podcast going where he talks sports. Our podcast earlier with him talked about life and our dynamic on and off the ice and some of the stuff that he's been through and the adversities that he has faced. But also, yeah, it'd be great to have him back and chat about what the dynamic was with you as an opponent. Because I know from we would always take maybe the last 10, 15 minutes of our practice and just scrimmage, because I mean, that was the best game situation simulation you could get. And more often than not, in those scrimmages, I would line up opposite you. And it was, I remember having a couple moments with you where, again, just not realizing that you're going to. You said it earlier, once the whistle goes, it's game on, right? I remember, you finishing the check like you would for anybody else, and me looking up thinking, I deserve special treatment because I'm your friend. Why you hit me so hard, you know?
Yeah, but to be fair, I knew I could hit you and you would get up. I mean...
We've said this before, our circle of competition was small, in that we were, to Southern Ontario, so Niagara, Mississauga, things like that. So you you definitely had a reputation as a fringe player, an edge player, and we mentioned earlier, it'd be great to get Brett back on and talk about on the opponent's end, because there was definitely every player on the ice from the other team knew when you were on the ice, man. I mean, whether you were wearing 7 or 43 or whatever the number was,
yeah,
they knew it was you.
Hockey was the perfect sport for me because, like we said before, I have essentially have underdeveloped lungs. So, I mean, if you're playing hockey properly, you go up the ice once, back down, and maybe back up one more time.
Yeah, yeah.
So to summarize it, I mean, I'm a pretty intense hockey player, even to my own teammates. But, I mean, I think you've said more than once you would much rather play on my team than against me.
So. Oh, 100%. I'm so glad I never had to play against. I mean, I did in scrimmages, and it drove me nuts. But it was, I mean, we were always pushing each other, so it was for the right reasons. But, man, I'm so glad to have had you as a teammate instead of as an opponent. So, absolutely. And, I mean, if we're looking at sports these days, I think there's probably a couple guys playing hockey that you could say you'd be glad to have on your team and not against you. So, I don't want to say that you were the Brad Marchand. And although he's pretty skilled. Maybe if you have that kind of skill. Brendan Gallagher. I don't know.
Brent, now you're comparing him to Montreal.
Well, I am a Habs fan, so I
have to. So, there's that.
Yeah.
So, we talked a little bit about your we talked about your wheeling through the school and having to go to the custodial.
So. Yeah. Shout out to our custodians. You're awesome.
Custodial office.
Custodial engineers.
Is that their official title?
I don't know.
So to circle back to your time in BR, I mean, you're still there.
Yeah.
So, we're gonna go back there for our latest offside.
Yeah. So this is a great one. I've been sort of waiting for a week to pull this one out. This is just happened a few weeks ago. We have this PD day, professional development day, where all the teachers are in the building and the students aren't. So, and we are sitting around, and our principal is addressing the entire staff. And let me first of all say that our principal is a good friend of mine. He actually taught me grade 10 math. So we go way back. He's known me from the time I was 14 years old. And this is a pretty fantastic story. He's got the entire staff in our library.
Is that your disclaimer so you don't get
in trouble? Yeah, I don't want to get in trouble. I don't, you know, I think we like each other, so I think it's okay. And this was an awesome moment. It just it was just awesome. So he's got the entire staff in our library, which we affectionately call our learning commons, and he's in the middle of this big talk about what we need to do as educators is be mobile. So his point, what he's trying to say, is that he doesn't want his teachers delivering their 20-minute lesson at the front of the room and then assigning work from a textbook and sitting down for the rest of the period and just letting the kids do the work. His point is about engaging students and circulating the room and be present for your kids and don't just assume that everybody gets it. But what comes out of his mouth as I'm sitting in the absolute front row, in the wheelchair section, if you will, I'm sitting in the absolute front row. He's got me right in eyesight. And what comes out of his mouth is, guys, I cannot stress this enough. It is impossible to be an effective teacher from a seated position. And so I just pause and let that one just process for a little bit. And I mean, I've got this, I look for opportunities to make people feel awkward around those jokes and those moments.
Was there a gasp in the room? Or
there was this collective silence as people started to realize what he had said with who was in the room. And nobody had reacted yet until I slumped down in my chair and went, "Oh." And then the room erupted with laughter because they realized, okay, if Chad can laugh at it, then we're allowed to laugh at it too, I suppose. But
I mean, I get it. Like, you're like, he doesn't look at you like you're just one of the teachers.
Yeah, 100%. Right? So, 100%.
I get it.
100%. It came from a very genuine place. And yeah, he was not thinking about that at all, because exactly that. He doesn't see me as any different from any of his other staff. And that's why part of the reason that that I love it. I mean, I never want to be considered different or special. I just want to be one of the boys, so to speak. So it was...
Or girls.
So it was cool to have that moment. So of course, I slimmed down. I go, oh, everybody laughs. And then he comes over, and the look on his face as he realizes what he just said was priceless, comes over, gives me a hug, and he goes, you know, I didn't mean it that way. And then, of course, I took it to the next level and said, I'll be right back, guys. I got to go rethink my entire life, you know, because everything I've strived for is now out the window, because it is impossible to be an effective teacher from a seated position. But no, it was, yeah, it was great. And it was interesting, because the point after that, as we sort of broke off and went to our next session for the day, I had a couple people come by, and they were talking about how funny and awkward that was, and how bad it would have been if I didn't have a sense of humor. And I thought, man, he literally didn't mean it like that. Like, he wasn't trying to offend me at all. He was exactly like you just said. He was just trying to make his own point. All right, thanks so much for listening, friends. We've had a blast with you tonight. We hope that, again, you're going back, checking out older episodes on iTunes and Spotify and wherever you listen to your podcasts, on Anchor and other outlets like that. Thanks so much for listening to the No Excuses podcast. Chad and Andy, minus Steve, saying see you later.
He might be back next week.
If we let him.